Joining me for today's conversation is Dr. George Barna, Executive Director of American Culture and Faith Institute. George is the leading researcher of the intersection of faith and culture and author of several books. Dr. Barna, we're glad to have you here today.
Well, thanks. It's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to have a conversation about the research that you are doing, and what does your research reveal about America's collective world view? And are we in crisis?
Yeah, I think it is a crisis. When you look at the data, what it shows is that currently only 10% of American adults have a biblical worldview. And it kind of gets worse because even if you look at just born-again Christians, not people who call themselves Christians, but people who we would categorize as born-again by virtue of the fact that they say that when they die, they'll go to heaven, but only because they've confessed their sins, have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's 30 to 31% of the population. With that small segment of the population, only 30% of them have a biblical worldview. So clearly we've got issues within the church in terms of worldview, much less outside of the church. We know that there are literally dozens of worldviews that people could possess. And what we find is that those other worldviews are dominating in American society today.
What are the most dominant factors that impact one's worldview?
Well, I think the most important thing for us to recognize about that is the fact that a person's worldview develops between about 18 months of age and 13 years of age. So the first factor that impacts it is age, and we've got to get there early. The world is having a dramatic impact on the worldview of young people, and that worldview doesn't change very much after the age of 13. I've been studying this for a quarter of a century now. And it's held consistent that entire time. What is it that influences the worldview itself? Largely, it's media content. Secondly, we find parental guidance has a big impact. Thirdly, laws also convey a lot of information to people about what's right and what's wrong. Those three are the most dominant things, and then you've got strong support coming from schools and peers in terms of influence. Now, some people are probably thinking, oh, that old man, he forgot to say the church. I didn't forget. As we looked at all the influences on people's worldview, what we found is that the Christian church has shockingly little impact on how people's worldview is developed. So there's room for growth in many respects.
Looking at your data, Dr. Barna, only 13% of Christians believe that obedience to God leads to success. The conclusion makes me believe that the impact that the church has is minimal.
It is. I mean, there are a lot of different influences on Christians, and given the fact that we know that 7 out of 10 of born-again Christians do not have a biblical worldview, stats like that are shocking, but they're not uncommon. And so there are a lot of different beliefs that we look at, a lot of different behaviors that we look at. One of the things that was different about our most recent worldview study was that we not only asked people what they believe, but we also asked what they do, because you do what you believe. So if your behavior is different than what you say you believe, that tells me you don't really believe that. They've got to be consistent with each other, because you don't do things that are inconsistent with what you believe to be right or appropriate. So we have a lot of challenges in American society today of trying to get people not just to parrot what they think might be the right belief, but to incorporate it into how they're living. That's when it truly becomes part of your worldview.
One of the observations you mention in your research is that regular religious activity does not ensure having biblical worldview. What is your thought about how we can correct that trajectory in a society?
Well, one of the things that we've learned in studying how people's lives are transformed is that it's important to be teamed up with individuals who are further down the spiritual development path than you are. And by that, I don't mean that they know more Bible verses or they attend church more consistently. But I mean, these are people whose lives are closer to Christ than yours is. And the reason why that's important is because if you can get them to coach you or mentor you, you know, part of that relational process wherein you're both focused on trying to become more Christ-like, and you've found somebody who's a stop or two further down the road than you are, that person can help you overcome the challenges and the obstacles that you're going to face. They don't know everything. They're not perfect either. But at least there's somebody who understands the challenges that lie before you. So that is actually one of the most significant things that we found. And we would hope that people would also look at their day-to-day environment and look at what kind of media are they being exposed to, because that continues to have an impact. Who are your friends? What kind of people do you hang out with? All of those kinds of things make a big difference in terms of what you're going to think, what you're going to do, who you are.
In your research, is there anything that's important that our listeners know about reaching millennials?
It's a very difficult group. They tend to believe that experiences are more important than information. And so if you're going to be interacting with young adults, it's often very helpful, more helpful, not just that you preach at them or that you try to teach them information, but that you're developing a real relationship with them, which is the other big thing in life for them. It's connections and experiences. So the more that you can befriend them and then share experiences with them, wherein you have the opportunity to dissect those experiences together and talk about their meaning, their purpose, what kind of truth principles you may or may not find embedded within those experiences, that winds up having a much bigger and more long-lasting impact on them than simply trying to, hey, let me show you what the Bible says. Now, what the Bible says is hugely important, and that needs to be the basis of what we're doing and thinking and saying. But with that particular generation, because they do not have the same presuppositions that we may have about the truth of Scripture, the importance of Scripture, the role of Scripture, or God, or Christ, or sin, or any of these concepts that are critical to us in a worldview, it's important that we then start with where they're at, not where we're at, and take them to where they could be.
It's very important that we impact the culture that's behind us. In other words, youth, because it really will drive society to where it is. Is there anything else that you would like to tell our listeners about additional information on your research?
Well, you can always get all the things that we're researching for free at culturefaith.com. I put new reports out on a regular basis, and people are welcome to read them, download them, send them to friends, whatever. And we're constantly trying to do studies that are helping us understand our culture and how to see it become transformed so that it's more God-honoring. And that's a difficult task. It's frankly going to be a multi-generational task. And so we've got to be in it for the long haul. It's going to be hard, but we can't shrink from that process.
Thank you for what you do, Dr. Barna, and thank you for joining us today in our conversation.